What's up, everybody? This is Zach. I'm back along with Justin for the second part of our series on taking care of your team. So we'll be diving back into some of the subjects we had started last week and going a little bit more in depth about what makes a healthy workplace and how you can create a situation where your employees don't want to leave because you treat them so well. So listen in, because we'll have all that and more coming up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, on that topic of, you know, kind of employees kind of leaving voluntary or involuntary, you know, in my experience here over the last couple of years, like that departure has been thankfully infrequent.
Yeah.
But in the cases where, you know, there has been a separation for whatever reason, you know, a lot of times it's a relief to the, to the employee, because they don't want to seem like the one who's quitting, or they haven't come to grips with the fact that they move on and maybe pursuing something different, is in their best interest for a variety of reasons. And sometimes helping them make that decision is just better for everybody. But in almost every case, like, I've seen kind of like a sense of relief. And that's not just on, you know, the employees leaving part. It can also be part of the team that's sticking around, right? Because if you've got someone on the team that's like a true anchor, you know, and they're bringing down 10 other folks in the process, like, you know, your team's going to be more efficient if you can, you know, kind of alleviate that anchor, whether that's, you know, moving that individual to a different position within the company, helping them find a job outside the company, just helping them make them be self-aware that, you know, maybe they picked up in the wrong field, you know, and that's fine too. I mean, that's certainly happened, but.
Well, that comes down to what you were talking about before, like those conversations, like if you don't have those conversations with folks and like get a feel for, I you know, like I've definitely had jobs where, you know, if you want to leave and like, you're almost afraid to leave because you're like, the boss is going to be mad at me, which is so insane. Like, it really is like such an unhealthy thing that, like, you know, if somebody leaves your company, you know, like, first you should, obviously, if it's someone that like is really high achieving, you should figure out why it is that they're leaving and like, do they really want to leave or do they just want to not be in that position anymore? And if you can make it, you know, if you're fortunately, like if you're a company that's big enough and can move them around, there might be another opportunity somewhere else. But then there's situations where like people don't quit because they're afraid to quit, which is like crazy. And as a boss, like, you know, that's one of the, again, I have another like good leader that I work with on my reserve side that, you know, he's told us repeatedly, like, listen, I don't want to lose any of you, but if there's an opportunity like that you see that you want to do, like my job is not to hold you back. Like, I want you to succeed. And so if it's your time to go, it's your time to go. Like, whatever I can do to help you be better, which sounds counterintuitive for like a business perspective, I guess. Cause like, you know, like, oh, well, what if you go to a competitor or something, or like, you know, another industry that like is in the line with us, and, you know, but at the same time, like if you're training your employees to like always trying to get your employees to be the best at what they do, A, it's going to reflect good on your company when they leave. Cause they're going to be like,
yeah,
oh yeah, no, I didn't leave because that company sucks. I left because like I wanted to do something different, or it was an opportunity that they didn't have, but they gave me all the tools to be at this new position.
Yeah.
And you know, again, if you're a bad leader, you're going to fall back on like, I don't want my folks to succeed because then I've got to do work, or the fact that like they could surpass me, which I think is that's a fear that I think people have, you know, for a whole host of different reasons, but you know, it's usually insecure, their own insecurity, which hopefully their supervisors or bosses would be keeping an eye on. But, yeah. And I think like in an environment like this, you know, people are probably less apt to leave because of they're afraid of like, well, everything's so uncertain right now. You know, but again, if you have sort of a pulse of like what's going on with your organization, like you might be able to figure out what's going on and, you know, and then the other side of that is like, if you lose people, it could be much more challenging to bring people on. So, you know, like, I think it's just really important to just sort of have that, you know, again, you don't have to pry, but like you said, like, just, I mean, a simple conversation could stem, you know, months or years of misery if you just ask them. It's weird that people just stay in positions that they don't want to be in. And that people
I mean, it happens.
Yeah. Of course it does. It has to. Yeah.
Sometimes I'm surprised by how long people hold on for. If they just communicated and, you know, try to get some help to go in a different direction. I mean, if they even have like the self-awareness to even realize it, someone could have helped them out. The other thing too, like I think about, and this is like slightly like philosophical waxings, is I think the work, kind of like the work economy and like the population of workers and philosophically what they're looking for, I think has changed over the last, 10 to 20 years. And I think there was a point in time where culturally, you were kind of promoted based on individual merits. And I think some of that still happens today. I'm not saying it doesn't happen today.
Yeah.
But in the absence of broad information sharing, if someone has a lot of information that's private to themselves, they theoretically have more power than their peers who might not have had the same information and therefore can't make decisions or express the same initiative as someone who had the information. And so, I think, back when like, my parents or, my grandparents were in the heyday of their careers, like that was one avenue to advancement, right? But I think what we've kind of evolved into today is like information's broadly available. People are more willing to share it than others, right? Through whatever means. And, I think the expectation is becoming the one who's able to share information for the benefit of improving the larger group, is the one who is of the most value to an organization. What I mean by that is saying, like, if you are someone who has like that 30,000 foot view of the world and, can kind of see how, the forces are kind of assembling on the battlefield in front of you, so to speak. If you have like individual kind of players or actors on your team that have information and are sharing it in timely ways to get people coordinated, everybody working on the same team. And you collectively have a stronger team because you have someone who's good at sharing information, perhaps even apparently selflessly at the time. You need to give some credit and recognition to that, because that political act of kind of being selfish for trying to coordinate the team is a very rare skill set that I see people exercise on a day-to-day basis. And it's hard to recognize, because usually the information sharing is kind of happening selflessly in the background, and you don't always see it. But those individuals are incredibly valuable because they break down silos. And we see it all the time in corporations that we work with, is like, these corporations have silos. I'm like, for what reason? Like, these are just like made up like bureaucratic lines because everybody wants to have their own fiefdom, right? And they want to prove like how good of a department they can build, or, how good of a whatever they can build. And they want to just do it all by themselves. But, it's the ones that are able to kind of recognize like the mission is a collective one.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can't go the full distance by yourself.
Well, it's a liability too. Like if you have someone who doesn't share information and then they do leave, like for whatever reason, we talked about this so much before we started recording, I was lost track of where I was. Like one of the key tenets, especially in my experience, like public safety and military, like, that are again, supposed to be much more like meritocracies. Like the idea is that you move up through like hard work and achievement. Is that you train the person behind you. Like you don't worry about like the selfishness and like the fear of losing the position. Your goal is to make sure that your replacement is as good or better than you. And then whoever's in charge of you should be doing the exact same thing. And you're always training so that people move up, and you can't do that if you don't share information. And it just, again, it's like, it's crappy corporate, culture that ruins that, where you reward people who are the ones who are willing to basically burn everyone else around them. You know, you're just going to have that from, it's going to be, you know, it's poisoning the well, like from top to bottom, you're going to have people who just only care about themselves. And yeah. I mean, at the same time, like, of course, like there's probably industries where that works really, really well, but, you know, and I'm sure that there's places that that's just, it, that's the nature of business. But, you know, I think in an industry where you're supporting other people, like, you know, where it's your cutthroatness shouldn't be internal, it does nothing to benefit the company. And, you know, and again,
or the team, or the team that you work
exactly.
on.
Yeah. And that's what's like crazy is like, you spend so much time at work with people. Like, why would you want to be miserable all the time or like be around other miserable people? Like, you know, at the baseline, you should try to at least have a good working relationship. Like maybe you're not, if you're just cordial, maybe that's enough, but like, you know, I mean, God, I just can't imagine like being stuck in an office with someone who I absolutely hate all the time, or I hate being there and I'm taking everyone else down. Like you should leave. I'm curious what your thoughts are like, you know, especially, you know, New Harbor and I think cybersecurity in general, like it still is overwhelmingly a fairly young person's game. Like, you know, like I think the industry as a whole is still fledgling ish, not fledgling. I mean, obviously cybersecurity has been around for a while, but like it's evolving currently. It's still relatively new overall as an industry, which means that it's also dealing with like a new culture, right? It's sort of blossoming with different priorities of employees. And one of those is the fact that like people change jobs all the time now. Like it's very uncommon to have someone who sticks with a career for 30 to 40 years. Like, you know, my parents or my grandparents did. In fact, like, you know, it's funny because I talk to my dad about this pretty regularly where like he worked for companies and like, you're like, you really devoted everything to the company. Like that was like your life, like almost more so than your family or anything else. And, you know, like you felt like you owed the company everything, which was great until the recession hit. And then he got canned. Like it was like, you know, he spent 20 something years working for this company. And then like, they immediately turned around and like, we're like, yeah, there's the door. Like, thanks. You made us lots of money. What do you want us to do? Go away. And I think like our generation now have a totally different set of priorities. We're like, you know, you don't like the people you work with. See ya. Like, I'll just go find another job. Like, fortunately that we had that opportunity when there were lots of jobs. I don't know. That's something people would do now, but like it, people change jobs a lot more. Like, how do you as a someone who's running a company have to like, you know, come to terms with that or deal with it? Or has your attitude sort of changed, you know, and being like, yeah, it's just, it is what it is. People are just moving around and they pop in, they pop out. It is what it is.
Yeah. I think my, my attitude on it has changed over the last, however many years. You know, I think, initially when we, you know, we had the kind of first handful of employees is like, you know, the level that I knew everybody was very, very personal. Right. Yeah. And so when someone left, it's almost like, you know, you're kind of losing a friend. You like, you almost feel betrayed in a way. And then, you know, and then it kind of compounds, right, too, is saying like that person leaves and then they kind of have to justify in their own heads why they're leaving. You know, and it just like, it kind of like it escalates, right? Like they kind of draw on like all of the negative things that happen, but they quickly forget all the positive things. And, right. And that's, you know, that's kind of a challenge, that I think we've kind of had to work through over the years. And then, but today kind of fast forward where we sit is, you know, I've kind of accepted the fact that people are going to want to move around and they're going to want to have different experiences. And, you know, I mean, that's fine. That's people's prerogatives. But, you know, I think kind of where I sit for right now is saying, let's try to make it as good as we can for everybody that's here today. Like, let's worry about today, make it as good as we can for right now. And then people, hopefully people will want to hang around a little bit longer. And
yeah,
I will say folks who have been in the industry long enough to kind of see like all the different shitty work environments that are out there. and then they land here. They're like, oh, this feels pretty good. Yeah.
It's different. We did just win one of the best places to work in the state of Vermont.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Like, and I'm painting with some pretty like broad strokes. I'm not trying to like alienate anybody here, but you know, some of our employees who, you know, are perhaps a little bit more tenured in their career and have worked for companies that don't really respect or appreciate them or, you know, kind of look out for their best interests. Like they've seen what it's like to be treated like a number or a statistic, yeah. Right? So when you kind of have the opposite, you know, and you say like, let's take care of our staff first. Like that resonates with them. They're like, this is great. Like we've seen the other side. We know what the other side's like. We don't like it. We're good here. And so those are the ones that stick around. But I fully recognize though, like we have a lot of younger staff members that don't have that perspective. Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of one of those things where like you need to kind of experience the other side in order to appreciate what you had. Right.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of employees who leave us, my hope and my goal is that at some point, and it might not be, you know, next month, it might not be next year, but at some point they'll look back and be like Flip, like we really had it good there. Like that was like actually a really good gig. And, you
but
know,
they're taking that with them. That's the thing. Like, hopefully they go to another company and maybe they perpetuate that. And like, you know, certainly in my experience, like, again, I've been pretty lucky. I haven't really had any awful, awful jobs, like other than like high school, like retail type things, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. But I would say that, you know, every time like, a company like New Harbor or, you know, these other companies that are really looking at like work-life balance and, you know, like you said, actually really do give a crap about their employees, that forces crappy companies to have to reconcile. Like at some point
it does,
you're going to be like, well, okay, I can make a little bit more money at this, you know, cutthroat company, or I can have more time at home or more vacation or the coffee machine. That's one thing I really miss at New Harbor right now is that coffee machine. Unlimited coffee is just the greatest thing on earth. You know, you like these legit little things that add up to just being like, this is a much more pleasant experience. And yeah, I'll stick around more. Or like you said, like if they leave, you know, and they look back on it, they're like, you know, geez, well, maybe I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to take the lessons I learned from New Harbor and I'm going to, you know, not treat my employees like crap. Or, you know, they're going to go and they're going to go to the new company and be like, you know, you guys suck. I'm going back to New Harbor or something. And like, I mean, these things perpetuate themselves, I think. So, and it's probably harder being sort of like on the forefront. I mean, it's more common than it was, but like being in Vermont, you know, like Vermont's got a different, totally different work style than like, you know, many places. It is much more laid back. Somebody was telling me, you know, they went to a meeting. They used to work in Manhattan and they came to a meeting in Vermont. They were all decked out in what they thought you needed to wear at like an important meeting. And everyone was like in Carhartts and flannel. And they're like, oh, this is a different speed. Like it's a different thing. So when you have a company like New Harbor that's leading on top of being in a state that's like, you know, I mean, it's like, this is a good place. This is a good mix. And then to be selected of all Vermont companies, you know, or the ones that entered as the best place to work. Like I think it holds some water and, you know, but yeah, I agree. Like it is, it's interesting. And I'm like on the fence. I think like we're probably both in that in between of like the old ways and the new ways. And so we probably have more perspective on seeing both sides of that. But I'm like kind of excited for the people who are coming in, cause they're not gonna have to deal with half the crap that we did. Their work ethic is a little bit different for sure. Like it's a different speed than like, you know, having someone breathing down your back all the time to get stuff done. So, you know, I think one thing, you know, maybe we can close on this is like, you know, like changing how you develop employees. I think that's something that's totally different. Whereas like before the approach was do your job, like just do your job. And like you were a cog and you did it. Whereas now, like, people come in, like, I can, you know, I worked in higher education before. You know, it's just, it's a, the next generation of people learn differently. They work differently, and that's totally cool. But the people who are going to hire them need to be prepared for that and need to train. Like, there's much more emphasis on like professional development and opportunities than maybe there was in the past. Like, before, you would get a job and you hopefully get promoted at some point, but your job was to get a job and do your work. And now people come in and they're like, you know, cool, I'm starting here. What do I need to do to get over there? And, you know, in most cases, like, businesses have to be like, all right, yeah, this is how we're going to do it, and focus on, you know, like, education and training, which, you know, New Harbor does have, and they do focus on that. And,
no, I guess,
we've talked about development in the past, but.
Yeah. And I would, you kind of made the comment a couple minutes ago, about kind of taking care of people. And, you know, I guess the way I think about it too, is like, if you take care of your staff first, the question I always ask myself is, well, if we take care of our staff first and foremost, are they going to do a better or worse job for our clients? Right. Like, I mean, if we said, if I go down into like our operations center and I just start like riding people like Seabiscuit for no reason and micromanaging stuff that at this point they're better at.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's anyway. The reality. Like, hopefully they do, like, outpace you.
who do you think they're going to take it out on?
Yeah. Right.
Like, our clients, right? Like, they're going to get frustrated and they're not going to be very patient. And so, you know, I have to say, like, I saw a competitor of ours put something out the other day. It was basically saying, like, customers first, employees second. And I was like totally smitten by that. I was like, I understand what you're trying to do. And I understand what you're trying to emphasize, but like, I don't know. I have a different philosophy to it. And when I saw that, I was like, this is great. I love it. Just keep it coming. Keep doing that. This is going to work out pretty good. And when your employees get frustrated because you don't appreciate them as much, they can come work for us. The other thing I'd kind of offer too, cause I've had others kind of ask me about this, and we can kind of wrap on this one too, is saying, you know, there's been a lot of leaders that I've kind of talked with that kind of get frustrated with, you know, retention rates and, you know, just the economy of people like changing jobs at like a high frequency. And, you know, and it's like to the point where like, they're willing to like throw in the towel, right? They're like, this is insane. Like, we can't do this anymore. And so, you know, to kind of put it into perspective, it's like, you know, you look at, there are plenty of examples on much bigger scales than like what I could ever imagine, where people do this kind of on this like rotation schedule, right? Like, you're always training new staff. And the first one's the military, right? I mean, I don't know what the average tenure is of someone in the military, but
not very long. There for you're not 4 getting 20 years anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, but you usually have plenty of people that are there for like short periods of time, right?
Yeah.
They're going to do their tour. They're going to fulfill their 4-year obligation, and then they're going to roll off and do something different, and you have to replace them, right? Like, that's a muscle that the military has, is saying you have that muscle in place where it's the expectation that people are going to roll off, and you just kind of bring in the next one, and, you know, you try to make them as good as they can be at their job and while they're there. And the second one, too, is like, you look at college sports, and this is a good example for like on so many different levels. And like, when I look at, you know, like big college football programs or big college basketball programs, like, you may only have that player for a year or two,
right? At best, it's 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. And your best players are probably going to be hitting the draft after the first or second year.
Yeah.
And your only job is to do as good as you possibly can while you have them, and establish a program where the next up and comer wants to come to. And you just try to, and your job, if you're a leader of that program, you talk to like John Calipari or Nick Saban or Dabo Sweeney, right, is saying your job is to make them as good, take that talent, make them as good as they can so that they can get drafted and end up on a better team so that up and comers see that that path and they want to come through your program. And that's how that program works. And so, you know, it's when people ask me about some of that stuff is like, how do you kind of stay in there and kind of hold the line? And I was like, well, first off, like, I mean, we're kind of blessed because we don't really have a lot of attrition.
Yeah.
Really, comparatively speaking. But it's like, you know, you don't do it for the people that are gone. You do it for the people that are still here. And as long as you can kind of get your head around that and saying like, whoever's gone is gone.
Right.
Right. It's like the time that you had with them is what's important, but that's past. Like, let's focus on today. And what's today is the people that are here. And those are the people that you've got to look at them in the eye and, you know, and giving them kind of a sense of accomplishment and helping them, you know, be better family members. And, you know, all the stuff that kind of comes with it is what's important. And when you like can flip your perspective and say like, forget about what happened yesterday, focus on today, like shit gets a lot easier, you know. Yeah. Just take it little steps at a time and be the best version of yourself today. And that's really all you can do. You know?
And in fact, what you're talking about is building a pipeline, right? I mean, that's the thing. Like, in fact, not only are you probably, so let's say you've got hotshot comes in, you know, you've got, you know, you maybe you're like, you know, I think New Harbor's got lots of opportunities, but like maybe that person aspires to go work for Microsoft. Like it's something that like they've known their entire life,
yeah.
But they want to get their feet wet and they want to work for a company where they can get a lot of experience and learn things. If you blow that person up and make them awesome when they leave and they go to that company may turn around and be like, let's develop a relationship with this other company. Like they're building like something really important here. Like from a business perspective, that is important. Like your folks reflect you. Like if you're producing nothing but garbage people, there's going to be a pattern that's going to be picked up. But like, yeah, you're talking about building a pipeline. Like, and that means that like, yeah, sometimes maybe you only have people for a really short period of time. Like they come in, they come out, but they're going to go and they're going to tell everyone and they're going to tell their peers and the next basketball player that like, you know, hey man, you're looking for a program, go to New Harbor. Like they're going to make you a pro, like go there. And that perpetuates. Yeah. And then you have, you know, just good staff. I mean, that's, I think that's probably a good place to end. Cause I think sort of tied everything with a bow with that, with your description there. That's really interesting. I sort of had an epiphany. That's why I'm like excited about it. That's an interesting thought. Like that's like a really good, we probably could have ended the show with just that last segment. Build a basketball program or a sports program where you're taking someone who's good and making them amazing for whatever period of time you have them.
Yeah. If you can solve that challenge the same way that, you know, some of the big names who do it day in and day out. I mean, first of all, it's like, it's just impressive that these folks have done what they've been able to do, but I mean, the challenges that they have to overcome day in and day out to, you know, to keep that program what it is that's the impressive part for me.
Yeah.
All right, Zach, we got our next episode.
Cool. Yeah. Well, thanks, Justin.
All right. Thanks, homie.
All right. So that was our episode on taking care of your team. And obviously you should do that because it's important. For all your cybersecurity needs, make sure you reach out to us, www.newharborsecurity.com. Like, share, subscribe, tell your friends. If you have ideas for the show or want to be featured on the show, you can contact us at pwned@newharborsecurity.com. Thanks and bye.